encouragement to me, and thank you for your friendship and your kindness. And wow, I, it's one thing to say, I love your pastor, I love your church and all of that, and that's true. But I respect your pastor. I believe he's one of the most prudent and wise pastors that I know. If I lived near here, I would join this church. And I promise you, I don't say that cheaply. But he's the caliber of man I could follow and support because I trust his judgment. He has your best interests at heart. And I'm going to say, I hate the masks. I'm following the Apostle Paul. I'm on the road to Damascus. But there are people that need protection, and there are people who have legitimate fears and concerns, and there is a responsibility to be a good testimony to visitors and everything else. And the balance he's struck with, hey, when you're moving around, be covered. When you're seated, that's fine. But hey, that is some of the best guidance of any church I've been in since this started in February. And I just so appreciate and respect him. And it's not just that, but that's the way he handles situations and people, and his judgment is just so commendable. And I just appreciate that. I get around a lot of places. I was in a church, Tennessee. It was time for the offering, and wow, Henry and Fred come up, and Henry, would you pray for the offering? And Henry comes and prays for the offering, and when he's done praying, Henry and Fred go to the outside aisles and walk straight to the back. And nobody took the offering. And I thought, well, they're old. Maybe they're just forgetful. Right? I don't know. I'm just a visitor. Who am I? I don't care, right? I'm just sitting there. But the organist played through a whole verse, and I thought, well, you know, I mean, hey, maybe I'm preaching next. But no. When the second verse started playing, the pastor got down out of his throne and went over here and grabbed the offering plate and walked to the front and stood in front of this person and watched till they put money in. And then this person. And then this person. Gave whole new meaning to take the offering. Seven verses. I'm sitting up there watching my preaching time melt away, and he gets the back and hands it to the ushers, and Thursday morning, he says to me, or Monday morning, Brother King, did you see anything in our church that you think could be improved? If your pastor starts that next week, I'm out of here. I just want you to know that. Wow. Well, anyway, I'm just coming alongside. And so, wow, tonight, don't come back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night would not be the night to come back. I have one agenda tonight, and that is this. I'm asking each of you to have a part in the missions giving to the program of this church. I don't have anything big or tricky. Answer this question. Have I been fair with the scriptures? Right? I can tell you stories. Listen, we've been all over the world. I can tell you about the guy in Bulgaria that got the butt of a machine gun in his teeth while the Iron Curtain was up and we were smuggling Bibles. I can tell you stories of the lady in the Amazon that had leprosy. I can tell you stories of weeping over the souls in India. I promise you, I have mission stories. But I told you on Sunday, what the Bible says in your lap is going to last a lot longer than the stories and the pictures. What you do, you should do for good and for God. I appreciated so much the heart and the spirit of the Glissons, and wow, what a blessing. He even sang, I mean, come on, how do you not love that? And so, but tonight, we're going to look at the book of Philippians. So let's just, I like to put a little frame around the picture. When you look at something and it's in a frame, you know the context. So this is what they call one of the prison epistles. The Apostle Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus, sent out of the church at Antioch, goes up into Asia Minor, starts the churches, here's the Macedonian call, come over into Macedonia and help us. The chief city in that area is Philippi. When you look at a map of the Mediterranean Sea, there are two peninsulas that stick down. The big one on the east side is Greece, and on the west side is Italy, the boot. Now, the reason they stick up out of the Mediterranean is because they're really two ridges of mountains, all right? When the Apostle Paul ends up going to Jerusalem and being captured, and he appeals to Caesar, and now he's sent to Rome. You have the big storm in Acts 27, right? Euroclydon. And wow, you can prove right there, if you're good in the Bible, you can prove that after women got their driver's license, nobody can go to heaven. I mean, just you guys are Bible believers, aren't you? So look, just slip back at Acts 27. This, I'm not making this up. You guys, you know it's true, and I mean, you just got to read it and believe it. I'm surprised your pastor hasn't taught you this. Oh, it says, the end of verse number 15 of Acts 27, we let her drive. In the last words of verse 17, and so we're driven. In the end of verse 20, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. just believe it for what it says. You don't have to. That's deep. That's deep. But the Apostle Paul is appealing. He talks to Agrippa and Festus and all this, and I appeal to Caesar. I'm a citizen of Rome, and you can't condemn me being a Roman citizen and all of this. And I believe we have a responsibility as citizens and all of that, but also privileges. But Paul is there, and while he's awaiting trial, he's let out on the ankle bracelet program. He was the first one with that. He's going to go to the Mamertine prison and die, but he's in his own household for a year, right? Now, in that circumstance, he has kind of finished his missionary journeys, and now he's near the end of life. And he's over here on the west side of central Italy in Rome. From there, he writes, several letters that we call the prison epistles, right? So, he had in his travels been to Philippi, right? And he loved the church at Philippi, and they loved him. And so now at the end, he's writing a letter to the church at Philippi. So I had to find a guy who looked like the Apostle Paul. Now, I didn't know him in person, but I'm going to use our song leader. He's the Apostle Paul tonight. Come on up here. Now, you live right there. No, you don't live by me. You live there. Okay, now. The church at Philippi is up on the northeast corner of the peninsula of Greece. To get from there to the church at Philippi, if you walk, it's about a 55-day walk. It's a long ways. This letter that you have in your lap, look at the end of chapter 4. Some of your Bibles have written by Paul from Rome to the church at Philippi, and it says by Epaphroditus. Does it say that at the end of the chapter in your Bible, right? This is how it happened. This is when it was written. The church at Philippi is a good church. Paul started it. He commends them through the chapters. It's a wonderful thing. So over here is the church at Philippi, right here. This is the church at Philippi. You guys are the church at Philippi. Now, I needed a treasurer for this church. It's got to be somebody real, real wealthy looking. So I'm picking that guy right there. Come on up. Yeah, please. Bring your Bible. Now, who is this? The treasurer at the church of Philippi. You live right over there. All right, now, imagine with me as we read verse 10 and following of chapter 4 of Philippians. Paul's writing by Epaphroditus to the church at Philippi. And watch what he says. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now here's the missionary's heart. Not that I speak in respect of want. Let me just say, is it fair to call the Apostle Paul a missionary? Right? I'm saying he's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's way more than a missionary, isn't he? But in this circumstance, he can't go make tents like he did in Corinth. He can't go earn a living some other way. Now he is entirely dependent on the support of others, okay, in this circumstance. Now, people in Rome and all around get saved. Some of Caesar's household get saved. He's still a witness. He's still a missionary. That brother Glisson saying, I'll follow you, follow me and make you fishers of men. The old saying is, if you're not fishing, you're not following. So he's fishing for men. But in this case, we're going to call him a missionary. And so many missionaries are entirely dependent. They go to these foreign countries and they won't let them get a job, and they're entirely dependent on the support of God's people in another place. Okay? So let's just look here. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the missionary spirit, hey? Sometimes I'm flourishing, sometimes I languish, sometimes I abound, sometimes I am abased, but I'm content because I'm in the center of the will of God. Missionaries are not a bunch of crybabies. When they express a need, it's because they have a passion for expanding the work of God. They don't seldom ask for something for themselves, but they know they need help to operate with what God wants them to do. Now watch verse 14. Notwithstanding, Paul to the church at Philippi, Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. That word communicate means giving. In this context, he says, you communicated with my affliction. Watch verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's right, remember? He came over into Macedonia, and now he left. He says, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Communicate is sending to their necessity, right? Right? That's what it says. But notice some things that are just laying there like a mackerel on the beach. It doesn't take real deep theological anything to see this. He says, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So, I'm going to ask this question. If he ate yesterday, does he still need to eat tomorrow? If he needed clothes last year, does he still need clothes next year? Right? Once and again unto my necessity. Oh, here's one for you. Look with me at verse 15 again. When I departed, no, what's the word? Church, communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. Your giving should be through the local church. That's the Bible example. That's how it's done. While every once in a while, somebody doesn't like giving through the church because then they don't get the recognition. I was pastoring and a guy comes by and he shakes my hand at the door after the service, and in there there's $100 bill, and he says, Pastor King, I missed the offering. Would you put that in? And I just took out my wallet, opened it up, and I stuck it in there. And he says, Hey, that was for the offering. I said, no, it wasn't. That was so I knew that you were a big giver. And don't trust me, I'm keeping it. If you wanted to go to the work of God, then you put it in the offering plate and don't look for any credit from any man. You've already lost the blessing. You may as well just give it to me. No church concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Whoa! Well, here's another one that's just patently obvious and probably you maybe didn't. Let's see. He needs, it has to be once and again, it should be through the church. Oh, every once in a while, some guy who's more spiritual than God, somebody who knows more than the Bible, somebody, he goes, well, listen, if that guy's a missionary and he's out of that church, then why doesn't that church just support him? How come he has to come to our place? Paul was not from the church of Philippi. He was from the church of Antioch. And the church at Philippi helped support him. Sometimes these guys, they say things that are unscriptural, but they try to pretend that they're more spiritual than anybody. But it's just laying there as plain as can be. Give to people even if they're not from your local church. Give once and again unto their necessities. And hey, give it through your church. Huh. Okay, well, we can go home now. I was kidding. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Hey, when Paul left Philippi, he went to Apollonia, he went to Amphipolis, then he went to Thessalonica and Berea, and even when it was relatively close, they sent once and again unto his necessity. That's wonderful. Now watch. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I know you've heard this preached. I don't have to belabor the point. You're in a partnership. God's keeping the books. You help them get there. And God is giving fruit that abounds to your account. Everybody okay with that? I mean, I don't have to start over with that, right? You all get that. Then notice verse 18, but I have all and abound. I'm full. Here he is at the end of his ministry in prison, and it says, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I'm going to say this. Oh, I know. You're going to say, duh, Pastor King, who doesn't know that? It's okay for a missionary to have something nice once in a while. We had a missionary from our church over in Ukraine, and they'd been there for 6 years, and I get a letter from the missionary's wife. Pastor King, thank you for your prayers and your faithful support, and I haven't asked for anything, and I'm not a complainer, and God's been really good to us, but could you please announce to the church, I really want some chunky, Skippy peanut butter. She says, the stuff they got over here isn't even peanut butter. It's rancid, it stinks, it has no flavor. It's just lard with a little bit of peanuts mixed in. Could I have, would it be okay? I said, no, you're a missionary. You took a vow of poverty. There is no chunky Skippy peanut butter for you. You have a rug on your floor. It wouldn't be wrong for them to have a rug on their floor. Just, you have a car that actually runs. It wouldn't be bad if they had a car that actually runs. I'm saying, he says, I have all and abound. I've received the things you sent. And I'm just saying, the heart of a church is, let's do what we can for these missionaries. So, then I like verse 19. Would you read it aloud with me? This is the promise. I talked about like last night, apple pie without the cheese, like the kiss without the squeeze. And this is the promise then to the Paul writing to the church at Philippi and saying to them, read out loud, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, folks, that was as much as anything is written to you that is written to you. This is a church in the Gentile world, in the fully developed church age, and it's to those who give. You know the story about the guy, the richest man in town died, and he was at the funeral home, and while the line was out the door, this was the guy, he owned the bank, he owned the real estate company, he owned the grocery store, he was the wealthiest man in town, and while the line was out the door, and the people were coming by expressing their condolences to the family, but sitting near the end of the casket, there was a guy in the chair who was just weeping uncontrollably. He was just, could not be consoled, and he was so sad. And people that came by shook the hands of the family and said, is that his brother? No, I don't know who it is. Well, is that one of your children? No, it's certainly not one of our children. Wow, he seems to be really overtaken with grief. He's so sad, and look at him, and he's inconsolable, and wow, just wailing and moaning. And after the line kind of died down, and just before the service was about to start, one of the sons went over and said, hey, he says, are you a relative that I don't know about? He said, no. And he said, well, were you a business partner or somebody who, no. He said, well, did you work for him or anything like that?
And he said, no, no. He says, well, were you in his will? And he says, oh, no, no. He says, well, then why are you crying? He said, that's why I'm crying. You cannot claim verse 19 unless you're in on verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It doesn't work that way. You don't get, right? I'm not in his will. If I was one of his kids, I'd be in his will, right? This promise, people all the time, well, God's promised to supply all my needs. He did not promise that to everybody. He promised that to obedient people. He promised that to people who got this, that you give to people who can never pay you back. Now, actually, I'm not preaching on any of that. I just wanted to show you that. I need Epaphroditus to come up here. Where is he hiding? You can bring your Bible, brother. So, look with me again at verse number 10. You live over there. Can you tell this was deeply rehearsed? Notice what it says here, verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church could communicate with me as concerning giving, receiving, but ye only. There is not Pony Express, there's not UPS, there's not Amazon. This is going to be hand-carried. This guy, Epaphroditus, loves the church at Macedonia, and he takes the resources that they give him, and, well, you got to get the money. And he takes it, in this case, but wherever Paul was, but right now he's 55 days away. You understand? This is quite a journey. Well, it's hard to work with these guys. Hear me. They love Paul. And he's their messenger, Epaphroditus, but he also comes here and he ministers the Apostle Paul and says, hey, we love you. We're praying for you. We want God's best for you. We're standing with you. And then after being there for a week or two, he makes his way back to the church at Philippi. We love this. I want you to notice something. This is not an apostle. He's a servant to the church and a guy who loves missions. You understand? This is a very, very important person. He's there for a while, and wow, after a couple weeks, he gets some more money, and I know. And he makes his way. Now look, Paul has ongoing needs, and the church at Philippi is standing with him. They love him. They pray for him. You can give him his wallet back. This is... Look with me now. And I'm saying, we love this. We love this. We like the way this works. Hey, here's a church, and they're giving to help a missionary in need. With the love of Christ, with the obedience to the scriptures, this is a wonderful thing. And so he's doing this wherever Paul goes. Now, Paul was out ministering, they say, maybe as many as 20 years, 17, 18, 19 years. And so, wow, what a wonderful guy, Epaphroditus. He goes again and he takes money. Look with me carefully, though, at verse number 10. Paul's writing to him, and he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, what does he mean? At the last, near the end of his life, near the end of his ministry, he says, I rejoice that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Do you see that word? And then it says after the semicolon, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. There came a time when they quit sending support to the Apostle Paul. And so, wow, Epaphroditus comes to the treasurer has nothing. And wow, he's making his way back to go see the Apostle Paul. He gets over in the northern end of Italy and stops and says, wait a minute, Paul still needs food. Paul still needs help. And I've got to help him. And so he stops, and wow, you can't see it. Those of us that know the Greek, that can read the details here, he stops and he sheared some sheep. He helped a woman fix her leaky roof, and he made 632 shekels, and wow, he took it over to the Apostle Paul. Isn't this wonderful? Thank God for guys like this. What a blessing. He's there with the Apostle Paul, and they're rejoicing together, and they have prayer. And I mean, hey, how do you beat it? We got a guy, he's a zealous champion. He's a wonderful, committed Christian. How sweet. Now, the church at Philippi is worried about how Paul's doing, and so he goes back, and he gives a report to the church at Philippi. Hey, Paul's doing good, and he appreciates your prayers and says, keep it up, and he got to witness to 9 more people, and it's really going to come closer and closer to when he faces his trial, and he tries to get more money, and they don't have it. And he starts making his way back to the Apostle Paul. And this time he's just leaving Greece and not even over into Italy. And he stops and says, wow, Paul still needs. So this time he pours a concrete sidewalk for a guy. He helps him brand his cattle. He helps deliver 3 brand new baby camels. And he gets 811 shekels. It's you won't see it, but I see it. And after 2 weeks of working, he takes this to the Apostle Paul. Now, he's not walking quite as fast as he used to. Hey, Paul sees him and says, wow, man, am I glad to see you. It's been a little longer since you were here. And, you're looking a little bit gaunt. Are you losing weight here? Hey, don't make nothing of me. I'm so glad to do. No, we don't want the church fretting. I'll see you. I'll be back. Now hear me. Paul still needs. But now one guy's making up for what the whole church ought to be doing. He goes, they got nothing. He's making his way back. This time, he helps a guy plant. This time, he helps a guy build a shed. This time it takes him 3 weeks, and he gets 806 shekels. And now he's going to go to the Apostle Paul. But now, he's on his hands and knees. Now, he barely makes it there. Now, it's been months since Paul's seen him. Now, Paul gets very alarmed, and he says, hey, what happened to you? You're just a shadow of your former self. You're going to pass away if you keep this up. What in the world is going on? Now hear me. I don't care. Any church, you can have the most zealous Christian, but eventually you're going to wear him to a frazzle. You can have Big Daddy Warbucks who really puts a big pile of money in missions, but eventually Big Daddy dies. You can have Those who have been to the field and their hair on fire and they're so passionate and they give sacrificially until, hey, wait, I got doctor bills. Hey, wait, my car's needing replacement. Hey, I don't care. I don't care. I've seen this my whole ministry. If you expect one person to make up what everybody ought to be doing, it ain't long before he's on his hands and knees. Read with me again verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. A church that quit. Why? Why did they quit? I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. Maybe the Ford Motor Company closed their plant there. Maybe Eastman Kodak moved out. Maybe they had a famine. I wasn't there in person. Maybe, I don't know. But for some reason, they lacked opportunity. They didn't lose track of where he was, folks. They were unable to do it. Now, you guys can be seated. Slip over to chapter 2 with me. In this same letter, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 2, verse 19, I think I'll send Timothy to come see you. But all seek their own, verse 21. And then verse 24, but I trust in the Lord, I also myself shall come shortly. Maybe I'll come see you. Verse 25, watch. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, watch what it says, but your messenger and he that ministered to my needs. He was the messenger from you, but the minister to Paul. Now listen. Thank God for these. These are the best Christians you've ever met. Watch what it says, verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed, he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon soul. What a loss! What a loss it would have been to the Apostle Paul if Epaphroditus would have died. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for my state. He said, Epaphroditus, I thought it necessary to send him unto you. Watch what it says. Watch how it phrases this. For he longed after you all, verse 26, and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. These kind of Christians that love the church and love missions, who will live sacrificially, who are unselfish, who don't want to be the center of attention. They don't have to be praised. They don't have to be noticed. They don't have to be rewarded. They don't have to have somebody give them a plaque. I do what I do for the love of Christ. I don't need human accolades. I don't need your praise. I don't need your recognition. Watch. He longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he'd been sick. For indeed he was sick. But God had mercy on him. Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Watch verse 29. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now listen. I'm glad for missionaries. I'm glad for pastors. But what the Apostle Paul says, a guy like Epaphroditus is one you ought to make a big deal out of. Hold such in reputation. And wow, I suppose you read the last verse. Because that, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Now watch, to supply your lack of service to me. Oh, church at Philippi, oh, you're so burdened. Oh, you're so concerned. Oh, you're so worried. You heard he was sick? He was sick! Nigh unto death to supply your lack of service to me. When I say it was in the Greek, it's actually here in the English. It's here in the English. Listen, when I said, hey, everybody ought to do their part, here's my challenge to you. If this guy does his part, the need will be met. If we're going to do more for missions, then that means there's got to be more missions money. So we're going to say, hey, we need you to do 10 more dollars every week. But if you decide not to do it, just tell the person next to you, I'm not doing it. So you have to do 20. We got to have the money. But if you're not going to do it, then just tell that one. Hey, listen, we're not doing it. You do 30. Now God help you if you sit on the end of the row. I know that sounds kind of crass, but this is how it works, folks. If missions is going to get done, you cannot expect somebody else to do what God wants you to do. You just take your place. You stand on your hind legs and say, what God wants me to do, I will do. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to ask him what I should do. And then with the help of God, I'm going to do that. When I stand before him, I'm not going to have somebody say, hey, I carried your share of the load. At least have enough sense. We said at the very beginning, is this of God? Is what the pastor trying to get you to do of God? Follow that which is good. Then we said, if there first be a willing mind, perform the doing of it. And now we say, hey, God will reward you if you're faithful. And I close with, hey, you got to do your part. I don't know what that is. I don't have a Deputy Holy Spirit badge. You ought to give $10. God told me what you should do. I don't have that. I know this. The Bible says, at the end, your care of me hath flourished again. You know what that tells me? The church at Philippi were supporting them in the beginning. They lacked opportunity, and now at the end, they got back up on the horse and started doing what was right. Isn't that wonderful? And that's my challenge to you. Listen, he said, we want you to fill out the cards this week, next week. We'll track what you're doing, and this will let us know what we can do for worldwide missions. I'm for it. But it starts with you getting God's mind on what you ought to do, and then perform the doing of it. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Brother King, we've got a real good missions-loving church. Our pastor is really all for this. Wonderful. Send a message to these eight young people that stood up here. We're for you. We're for the ministry. We're for missions. Send a message to the Glissons and the Ragsdales. Hey, we think what you're doing is very important, crucial work. Send a message. I'll do without one of the hamburgers. I'll do without some of the niceties. I'll do without some of the luxuries. I'll do without. I'm not asking somebody else to do what I'm supposed to do before God Almighty. I asked you earlier in the week, and I say it again now. How many of you believe with the help of God, you could do more than you have for the cause of Christ and missions through this church? You say, Pastor, I believe with the help of God, I could do more than what I've already been doing, and I'll take my place and do my part. Would you slip your hand up and put it right back down? I believe I could do more, and with the help of God, I intend to do just that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. I wished I could just share part of my heart and vision and burden as these missionaries have. But Lord, the scriptures are what exhort us and admonish us and exemplify to us this is how it's done through the church on a